Okay, so let's begin Hakdama Chaf Beis, titled Shmaisav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As we'll see that although Hashem Yisbarach is one, he has many names. And the way that's going to work, just with the Hakdama, because this is a real Shaila today, it's a Shaila, and in earlier generations it was a Shaila too, is why does Hashem have many names? Why is that necessary? How is it that a God who is Echad would want or should need so many names? So what comes out, Bekitzer, is that this is not, Chas V'Shalom, what we may think as a Giraon, a flaw, something which detracts from Hashem's oneness to have many names. Bechlal, the whole concept of many by the Ribbono Shel Olam is an Eloi v'Tosefes. And part of the Tachlis HaBriya in being Megala his Yichud is this concept called many. Something who is, or someone who is literate, who is limited to a oneness, as in the number one, is not the oneness of Hashem Yisbarach. As the Ramchal explains that the concept of Echad, of oneness which we attribute to Hashem Yisbarach, is a oneness which is higher than oneness. We use that word because there's no other word in the world of speech, vernacular, which can properly describe who Hashem Yisbarach is. So by default we say Hashem is Echad. He chose that word. The greatest shavach that the Torah gives about Hashem is to say Hashem Echad. And we have a shus to also say that Hashem is HaGadol, HaGibor, HaNoira, which are descriptions of Him. But He attributes to Himself many names so that we should know Him. As we've said many times, that the Zohar says that the Tachlis HaBriya is what? Begin the Ishtamaydan Lay. He wants His creations to know Him. And to know Him in a way of oneness, of simple oneness, meaning without any flair, without any concept of more than just the pashtus of what one represents, would not be a real understanding. Similar to a painting, which is only the color red. That's one. It's one color. But that doesn't properly describe the beauty and magnificent possibilities and potential. So to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that because this oneness is something which is higher than the concept of one, it's beyond Metzius. That type of a oneness can reveal itself in many ways, yet maintain its connection to oneness. So hence, as we embark on this understanding of this Shiloh which comes up in trying to understand this Ribbono Shel Olam of Begin to Ishtamaydan Lay, how He chooses to reveal Himself with many shemas, actually manifests His oneness. So therefore when we have, as we'll see, the Shem Elokim, or the Shem Havaya, or the Shem Keil, these are ways of expression that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Megala Himself to us. Not Chas V'Shalom that we're talking to a different person, or a different thing. This world is a mashal. And sometimes the mashal doesn't actually, you know, do justice to understanding the nimshal. Although I'm sure there are nimshalim to this. Mashalim to this, which better describe what this is about. But the Shemas HaKadoshim of Hashem Yisbarach are ways that He reveals Himself to us. And He wants us to know how He's revealing Himself. And not Chalila to say that, oh, this sounds like Avodah Zarah. So here he's Elokim, here he's Avaya, here he's Anas. It's a very difficult kasha to deal with because it's touching on who is this Ribbono Shel Olam. And if we're off a little bit, so it's Chomer. It may not be Avodah Zarah, but there's a concept called Avodah Zarah V'Tara. Haktam HaChafeh. So that's by way of Hakdama, is to know that when we see the manifestations, the various manifestations of Hashem, and how he was megal himself with many shemas, it actually pushes us to a place to recognize that Hashem Yisbarach is much, much greater than any limitation whatsoever. That he can be megal himself, reveal himself in many ways and many names, but at the same time, that's just a revelation of who he is, but his oneness, who he is, his majesty, that's something which is beyond. Which is beyond any name. Higher than all names. So let's see. But with that Hakdama. B'shar ha-koydim nizbayar. Thank you. Eich kol ha-sfiris nivru'u al yedei ha-chof bezosias ha-Torah. So we spent much time discussing the 22 letters of Torah. How all of creation and all the spheres correlate to these chafbeis oisiyos ve'ata nevar shekol achiyos ve'ha'or shebaseich ha-spheres. That the life source and the light which is within the spheres are nimshach from Shmoyis of Yisbarach Shemayim. They come from the names of Hashem. The names of Hashem are going to describe that life force, the revelation of that life force within each and every shem. So therefore there's no randomness when it comes to davening that here there's a Havaya, here there's an Elokim, here there's an Adnos. Everything is to the T, exactly the way that it's supposed to be. Hashem revealing himself according to how he wishes to, here, then, and now. So when we daven, which is the most practical application of this process, it's a good thing. It's a good thing to know. Not chalila that we're davening again to this and that. Everything is to Hashem. Just that we know how He's revealing Himself to us. It gives us an understanding, a yidiyah of where we are, and how He chooses to be manifest Himself right now. So as He qualifies, never are we davening to the sphere, or to the name of the sphere. And Chazal darshin a love sheish lehispalo Hashem Yisbarach be'atzmai v'lo midoisav. We don't daven to Hashem's midois. We daven to Him. Ela kavana sheispalo Hashem Yisbarach hamachaya tamid is called a sphere. Hashem said deeper than that, deeper than the name. Then the sphira, which is considered to be chutz from Him. When doing so, shiyam shech shefa lo isa sphira, it's that it's something higher than that name which brings down the shefa to that sphira. V'shem ha-mesiyachis lo isa davar shemavakish achshav, to the sphira, to the shame that he's connecting to now. V'yesh te'elis gedor d'leida l'chavim b'chol tfila es ha-shem ha-mir sham. There is a te'elis. A very great to'elis in knowing the shame which is meyer, which manifests at each and every point of davening when the shame comes up. Simply put, recognizing that there's a different shame at each and every time is supposed to bring us to a place, like we said before, pushes us to a place to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fact that he can manifest himself in so many ways shows just how endless and how great he is. Like B'derech Mashal, he's not just red, he's not just green, he's everything. And the fact that he's everything doesn't mean that he's this, 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 and this. It means that he's higher than all these things. And so therefore, when he chooses to act in a certain way, kivyachol, Hashem is just saying, here's how I choose to manifest myself. But I'm not limited to anything. That's Moira on the Godless Hashem. Simply put. Again, just like all the various Briyas in this world testify to his greatness. And so by knowing this, it gives us a deeper yearning. So, this is perhaps the best way to explain it. And it's appropriate for a Hasidic Sefer trying to explain Yisodas and Kabbalah to put it this way, because there's other ways of explaining this too. But the best way, Lanias Daiti, is that the reason why the tefillah is more mikubal when we daven that and we're machaving the shemas is because all the tefillahs are niskabal derech halev. Rachman ali babay. And the lev is the shah in which the tefillos are niskabel, are answered. So anything which opens up the heart a little more, opens up the tefillah more. Just like learning a sefer before davening, or going to the mikveh, and hispaidus, whatever it is that a person considers to be a hachana for davening, it makes the tefillah also, besides the skula shabayev, Torah before tefillah, and being kasha Torah and tefillah, etc. But the etzem pa'ulah, no matter what it is, the ikr is that if it creates a psicha salev, who yiftach libeinu b'sayrasay, so doing so is the ultimate hishtalis in Kabbalah satfila. The tefillah should be niskab. So the mere fact that if I come to the bracha of Chaynin Hadas and I say, Bracha to Hashem, Chaynin Hadas, oh, over there, Havaya is in a patach. Or if I'm davening and I say, Kel Shakai, and I know Kel Shakai has a shaykhis to the sphere of Yisod. It's not that it's poil more. You could say that. Many Mekubalim say that. It's poil more in the Oilam Masal Yonim. But that's not for us. We're not holding on such a madriga that when we use Mechavin Shema Sakdoishim that we really are being poil in a way that actually we have to be humble enough to know that we're not on such madrigas. It gives us a greater hakara of the Godless Hashem. Thus is enough. Chassidus, that's the Iker way. Of course, in deeper Chassidus, there's more to it. But even those very great tzaddikim, they approached it from a very simple place. It gives me a better hakara. That's enough for me. And there's also, like we said, it goes deeper than that as well. So let's get into the specifics. We spent a lot of time talking about 10 spheres. And every sphere is going to have a Shem Kadosh, which corresponds to that sphere. The Shem Ekya corresponds to Keser. Why? Because Keser, which is Ekya means I will be in the future. Keser means you don't have a hasaga in what's now. Later you'll understand. Aval muchan ani livro es ha'idlam as v'hanivroim. Hashem says, I am ready. I am prepared. There will be something about to happen. V'shem ekya lahem le'lekim v'yilachem hasaga be'lokusi. So therefore, ekya means there's always more. Why is that? Keser is the place which is the highest sphera. And it's that place called Keser where there's a chibor, there's a connection between the Ma'atzil and the Netzal, the Boirei and the Nivra. Keser is where these two worlds collide, the Boirei and his creations. And the message of Keser, what Hashem Yisbarach is telling that sphere called Keser, which is a manifestation, is although you're being masik something right now, no, there's more of this from where it comes from. And that's extremely important, and that's the idea, which is the most important idea above all, as we spoke about when we began learning the Sefer together, is that the Tachlis HaYadiyah will always be that we don't know Him as much as we know. That there's always more of the Ribbono Shel Olam than what He's giving off. Much, much, much more. Endlessly more. So therefore, the very first idea in Kedusha, in the beginning of any Tfisa and Hasaga, is Ekya, I will be. What you understand now is a fraction of what there is. And if that's not the first hasaga which we have in the Ribbono Shel Olam, then the whole thing is fallen. The whole thing is shattered. That's called Shvira Sakeli. The Keser, which is the Keli, which sustained the process of creation, which we spoke about, the Nikudim, of the breaking of the Keli, the Shvira Sakeli, that there was no Shvira in Keser, albeit a tiny drop, was because Keser means a hasaga where I am makir, that it's not a hasaga. So therefore, if we want to begin to know the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Ishtamoidin Lay, so the very first way that he introduces himself is that he says, Shalom Aleichem, there's much more of me than you know. And that's idea number one. So that's why Keser is Ekya. Contrary to what we would have thought, we would have said, okay, if it's up to me to make 10 spheres, and to attribute names to these spheres, which we know there are many, Elohim, Agnos, Kel Shakai, tzvakos, etc. I would have said, Keser takes Havaya. No? Isn't Havaya the ultimate? Yes. We're going to see that there's a certain significance to Havaya. Mitzat tachlis habriya, Havaya is very important because Hashem wants us to have that hasaga now of Him. But in a certain sense, a very important one, Ekya is considered to be even the root of where Havaya comes from. Because Ekya is like Havaya. It's just that there's Haya Haya V'iya. So Ekya is representing a place from which Haya Haya V'iya come from. Because even Haya Haya V'iya means in the world of Gvul. If there was, that means that there's not. If there will be, that means that there's not. But Haya Haya V'iya, of course, the combination of those things implied that there's something which is higher than Zman, something ain't Saifi, and Ekya means that. Ekya means almost like the root from where Havaya comes from. It could be said that way. So therefore, in manifestation, in the world of manifestation, Havaya takes the cake. But if you want to know something very important about manifestation, higher than manifestation, revelation, that's called Ekya. And that's exactly what Hashem Yisbarach told Moshe Rabbeinu when he was Megala himself to him after the Chet HaEgel. Hashem says to Moshe, V'ra'isa sacharai, ufanai lo yiroh. V'ra'isa sacharai means that everything which you see of me is always my achar. Upanai, which is my pinim, lo yiroh, you can't see. And that came together with the revelation of the Yidgim Lomidus of Rachamim, of which the Zerah Kodesh, the Rosh Hashanah, says many times that Ekya is considered to be the shayrish from where the Yidgim Lomidus of Rachamim come from. And that's called Ver'isa Sacharai. Every revelation is just an achar. And what teaches us that? That's the Shem Ekya. I will be. There's more to come than this. So therefore, it's a good thing that nobody asked my opinion about which name to attribute to the spheres, because I certainly would have messed that up. Ekya is the sphera, is the shame which corresponds to the sphere of Kesef.
At the end of the day, we don't really know what that means, right? As far as understanding the shame of Ekya. I mean,
that's what it means.
The Chachma, right?
Yeah.
So we don't really...
That's what it means. What it really is saying is, we don't know. That's what Ekya means. That's the shame. It's the shame of which tells you don't know is Ekya.
Because it's also the level where we know the least, correct?
Right.
It's the ultimate unknowable.
Right, exactly. That's what that means. Keser is something which you wear above your head. Right? Whereas every levush, you wear it on you, the kesi you wear on top of you. And that's the crowning quality of Klal Yisrael, is that the Chazal bring in the Psukim in Pasei Fidvarim, that Hashem says about Klal Yisrael, Ki atem hama'at mikol ha'amim, which is a great shavach to Klal Yisrael. Chazal said, Ki atem mima'atim atzmecha. That every time I reveal myself to you, you humble yourself before me. Because every revelation to Klal Yisrael is not, oh, now I understand. It's, wow, there's so much more to understand. And we come to Akara, to a place where we recognize that this is nothing. Everything which we understand is the beginning. We're always at square one. So Ekya means that. That's exactly what Ekya represents. Like we said, that Keser is the place which is kissing the revelation of the Ein Sof. Keser is the first Havana. So therefore, that first Havana of Hashem Yisbarach is, you don't know me. And Ekya represents that. So that's the shame which corresponds to the sphere of Keser. Now, the sphere of Chachma is a new shame. The sphere of Chachma, daf tough base. The sphere of Chachma, meir shame ka. The shame ka is the sphere of Chachma. The east of the Gemara says that Olam Hazeh was created with the letter Hey, and Olam Haba is created with the letter Yud. Shenemar, ki baka Hashem sur element. With this shame called Ka, Hashem created the world, which is a beautiful example as to why and how every shame kadosh is very specific. There's no randomness here. Didn't say ki be'adnas surah element. No, ki be'ka. With this shame called Ka, Hashem created the world. Harida ayide Hashem ka bar Hashem yisbarach beiz olamos. Two letters for two worlds. Olam hazeh and olam haba. And the pasuk says kulam bechachma asisa. Chachma, represented by the shame ka, there everything is created. Like we say in davening every day. Kula machachma sisa, malacha aretz king anecha. Shemisfiras chachma maschil rishis his galas ha'ilam. So again, whereas in keser, ekia, keser means you don't know, and that's the idea. In that place called keser, your knowing and your lack of knowing go together. Like the Sfarim HaKadoshim say, the Arizal explains, that by keser, there's no yamin in small. You can't be even makir that there's a small. It's a kulu echa. Kulu echa means that there's an achdus hayedia, that what you know is that you know you don't know. That's what you know. The merging of those two things together is exactly what keser is. Now, the world in chachma, which is one step forward, means I can begin to understand a little bit. So that's called chachma. The beginning of a hisgalus. The very first crack at understanding something other than I know that I don't know. So ka, and it, by the way, it's the smallest of all the names. Not just that it's the smallest in terms of letters, there's also another shem which is also very small, which is the shem kel, which is also two letters, which will be in chesed. But the one up that ka has over kel is that numerically ka is the smallest of all the names. Because kel is gematria 31, which is double the shem ka, which is 15. So ka, which is the beginning of his galus, is a very, very tiny hisgalus. That's what chachma means. Chachma means a very small window into understanding. And even the shem ka is really a chatzi of the shem havaya. That's havaya, which is yud kei vav kei. So minus the vav kei, we have a shem kadosh called yud kei, which was a very big chachma, pun intended, of the Ribbono Shel Olam, because the Torah says that Amalek makes melchama l'Hashem ki yad al keis ka. That they tried to cover, they tried to create a period between the letters Vav and Hey, which is the only place where Amalek can even send their hands as to the letter Vav and Hey, but the Shem Yudke they can't touch, because it's higher than Hasaga, so to speak. So this is the game that Hashem plays with Amalek. Oh, you think that you're so tough, you can mess with me, you're going to make an achiz in the letters Vav Hey? Comes along Hashem and he says, no. Even when you play around and you touch the letters Vav K of the shame, know that it's not that I'm left with Yud K, which is a chatzi shame. I'm left with the shame shalim. Because even Ka is a shame shalim called Yud K. You're not megarei on me. Adarabba. Understand this well. When Amalek throws their hand on the shame Yud K Vav K and they try to make an achiz on the letter Vav K, it's not a megareya to Tashem Yisbarach. Adarabba. What happens? You're throwing your hand on Yud K Vav K, which is the gili we'll see of the shame Tiferes, the sphere of Tiferes. Know that when you do that, you're actually the Megala greater Yichud, which is called Yudke, which is the sphere of Chachma. It's an amazing thing. Until you came along, I was Megala myself in the Shem Tiferes. And now that you come, that you've come along and you make an Achiz in the Vavei, know that there's still a Shem Shalom, which is called Ka. But that Shem is going to be a greater Gilui than what was before. What's interesting also about Chachma, we spoke about before when we were speaking about the sphere of Chachma, is that the difference between Keser, Chachma, and Bina, if you want to work it out in our brains, is that Keser means a ratzon for something. That first, boom, this is what I want to do. I want to build a house. Ding. Then there's Chachma. Chachma is the flash which we see, where we see the entire picture all at once. It's the vision. It's the great big picture vision of what it is that I want to do, where I can already see the tachlis of what it is. So, for example, people are sitting at a meeting, and somebody opens up his mouth and he says, "We're making a building." Right? And then, that's called the keser. And already by the keser, you can know whether the project will be matzliach or not, for people who are mevinim. Because that ratzon, depending on how strong the ratzon is, will determine the outcome. Chachma is that the next time they get together, they already worked with these people who, what are they called? No, not the architect. Just even the the picture, meaning that the picture of this is what the building looks like. Now, the first time you sit down, next time you sit down together as the board, you already had somebody draw off what it looks like. This is what the building is going to look like.
Render.
Yeah. So that vision of a this is the building, which everybody looks at it like, wow, which really is like, okay, this is, that vision is really what's fueling everything now. This building, now that we see what this building looks like, it gives you tremendous kayach to move forward. That's why chachma is also kayach ma. It gives you the kayach to see the project to its fruition, because chachma is already a vision of the tachlis. That's why the Zohar says, Abba yosad barta. The father is meyaseh the daughter. The daughter is malchus, which is the final product, the bottom of the spheres, which is considered to be the end, the tachlis. Because, of course, Hashem's malchus, the manifestation of his malchus, is the tachlis. Yet, the Abba, which is called chachma, is yosad barta. Chachma yosad barta means that what really is the backbone to all final result is the koyach of chachma in the project. It's the visionary. It's the person who's always pushing towards the final project because he's able to always keep his eye on the tachlis. That's the mid of chachma. Ezehu chacham, haroyas anoylat. It's that guy in the office who always has his eye on the tachlis, and he's motivating. He's the motivator. He's the captain of the team. You don't choose the captain of the team to be the guy who's the best player if he's not the best motivator. Usually the two go hand in hand. But if not, if the captain of the team is not the best motivator, then even though he's the best player, it doesn't mean that he deserves the C on his jersey. Because the captain needs to be the motivator. That's the koyach of chachma. The person who sees the vision. He sees the trophy at the end of the season. That's the koyach of chachma. Kesser would probably be the coach, right? Not, it's higher than actually playing. So that's chachma. The sphere of Bina is Meir the Shem Havaya B'nikud Elokim. This is going to be the most unique out of all of the spheres, and that Bina is a Shem Havaya. But what differentiates it from the sphere of Tiferes, which will be Havaya straight, is that Bina is Havaya with a Nikud Elokim. Hainu, Sha'osios Hanechtav Hu Havaya Kipshutoy. There's a Havaya here, that's on paper. Aval Koronosoy Kifi HaNikud Shal Hashem Elokim. But we call it, the Nikud is Elokim. We'll say it Elokim. Like we have many, like not many times in the Torah, but sometimes it'll be when the Shem Havaya is Samach to another Shem, so then we'll say Elokim as opposed to Havaya. Vem Segel Choylem Chirik. Right, these are the nekudos underneath this havaya, which go with the Shem Elokim. V'hatam sha'oisiyas hanechtav hu havaya shukulei chesed. The reason why is because havaya is moiran chesed, and the nikud of Elokim is kulei din. We play shabina ba'atzma hirachem in gvurim. Like we've said many times, that the meichin keser chachma bina are kulei rachamim. There's no din there, so that's why it deserves a havaya on paper. The bones of Bina are kula rachamim. But since it sits on the left side of the kavin, which we know, we spoke about, the way to divide up the ten spheres in columns of three, and from here, din reveals itself first in the world of Bina. So whereas in Chachma was the first revelation, and the first crack of revelation is Kulo Rachamim, Kulo Chesed. That's the end of everything, is that it should be completely Chesed. Bina comes along and says, yeah, but there's a part here of Din that when it's incorporated and made part of the greater picture, that's also going to add. So therefore, Keser and Chachma begin our journey in revelation because we want to know, and we see from Keser and Chachma, what's the final product? The final product is kulu about chesed. Bina is the beginning of the details. Bina is that guy who's going to start to say, okay, this needs to be this, there needs to be this. I see the picture of the building, but in the building there's many rooms, and there's many departments and compartments. So Bina already is the world of pratim. It's the world of gvulim, which comes with din. So Bina says, yeah, that final picture has something to do with din also.
So
because it's simtzum, right? That's the only way you can have details.
Yeah. Yeah. So whereas Chachma was the beginning of the tzimtzum of, let's say, what's called Keser, because the first crack is a tzimtzum. Right. And even Keser is a tzimtzum. But it's, you're not margish the tzimtzum, because Keser is screaming out loud, I don't know anything. So Keser is holding on to the fact that there's no tzimtzum, and that's its tzimtzum. Its tzimtzum is, I don't know. But that already is a tzimtzum, because if you don't know, that means that there's something to know. Because in the world before Keser, there was nothing to know. There was just no creation. It was higher than Metzius. So Bina is already, we're able to discern. We're able to discern very clearly that there's a Gvul. And Bina is going to be the Shprach of, how do we make this Tzimtzum, this Gvul, part of the greater project, which Keser and Chachma are telling me. But that's already somebody on the ground. Not exactly on the ground, but he's taking it one step further, and he's saying, I see a building, I see a great picture, now we have to go into the details, because if there's no details, so then all we see is a face. We just see the face of the building, but there's no Teichen at all. The beginning of the Teichen, the Pratim, so many times, Chachma and Bina, the relationship is Klal to Prat. That'll be the relationship between Chachma and Bina. Let's finish the paragraph. What comes out is din. So therefore the nikud is like emerging from the guf ha'oisius, which is rachamim. So that's called din. The din which is attached to rachamim, where it's shay, which is in rachamim, that is the type of din which we want. As he explains now, let's just do this quickly. That the Zohar speaks about sweetening of all dinim takes place by going to the root, going to the shayrish. When we take all things in this world which appear to be ra and din, and we hold it in our hands, we say, we're taking you up to your shayresh. So we see very clearly, so therefore there's no such thing in this world as ra, as really din. We just need to go deeper. Pnimius means to go deeper, take it to its shayresh. Pnimius always means go to the shayresh. It's not that there's real din. It's that all the hashpah is rachamim. It's that to best reveal Hashem's oneness and what He wants in this world, there's tzinayrus, there's dinin, which are mitzamtzim the shefa. But not, there's not a type of a shefa in this world which is called a shefa of ra. And when it becomes nitak from its shayresh, so it's just off the derech. It's an off the derech shefa. So how do we bring it back to its root, which is Rachamim Chesed, you take it to Bina. Because that's where the word came from. And there's so much in the world of Kiryu V'chaikim, in understanding the sphere, so many lessons which can be learned from this. This idea is that if we approach a Yid who's struggling, it's not that he has a bad makar, it's just, the avoid is bring him back to his roots. Bring him to his roots. In that place called Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, which of course corresponds to these Meichim, there's no pagam there. It's just about, if you could take a Jew and bring him to his roots, bring him home, and you have to know what home means. But if we say about something, it's possible that this doesn't belong. It's Moira right away that you have no idea of Pnimius, which is the fabric of the world. Meaning that if a person thinks about any Jew that it's not Shaykh, such a thing is not shaykh, then it's not just that you're making a mistake. You're going against the very fabric of Ma'aseh Bereishis. Ma'aseh Bereishis and the spheres, which is the DNA of all creation, is saying everything belongs. There's no such thing as a shaykh or anything which doesn't belong. If you see that something is not working right, it's detached. Right? If your mixer is not working, it's because it's not plugged in. That's the only reason why it's not working. And if it's not working as a mixer, then it's just metal. You can't do anything with it. Then it's the worst keli. It's even worse than a pencil. Because at least a pencil doesn't need to be plugged in to work. But anything that doesn't need to be plugged in, you have a very small output. So when things are plugged in, then infinitely much more able to produce. That's this idea. That's what Bina is, plugging back in. This is the very big avoda that the tzaddikim worked with. This is the meichin that they had. They had these meichin of Keser, Chachma, and Bina. The Bina is considered to be like the hisgalis, from where, as we'll see, as we know, the Bina is like the mother who is impregnated with the spheres which will emerge. So this was the work of all the tzaddikim, is that they tried to attach to the shayrish. They were always connected. Their moichin were moichin like this, to the shayrish, to the shayrish. And that's where every other voida which they did, whether it was a davening or a benching or a limud ha-Torah, a fabring, whatever it was, it came from this perspective, and therefore they were able to be mala the entire tzibur. Because they themselves were connected to that shayrish. And that was their whole avayda. So nothing is possible. Everything belongs. And it's much more the idea that we approach what we do as opposed to the tools and the mechanisms which we use. That's all going to be just taisefes. It's all going to be tafel to the ikr. The ikr is the hashkafa itself and approaching people and matzavim in a way that, no, this belongs. It's just that if it's not matzich, it needs to be attached to its root. That yediyah itself, when a person is manifesting, when he's shining rays of himself, which are keser, chachma, and bina rays, that has the energy, spiritual energy, to be able to be makar, bring to everything to its roots, and to be mamtik al-din. Ready? Shabbat shalom to that. Happy birthday.